right, welcome to the show, folks. That's right, you got the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show fresh off of our first annual Pizza Challenge. We're back in the Mercury Free Broadcasting Studios as we come to you live on FM 105.5 and AM 660, The Answer. And please don't forget, for the best in Mercury Free dental care, especially after you've been eating a lot of pizza and a lot of crust, go to my dentist, Dr. James E. Hardy, at 407-678-3399. And don't forget to ask him about his book, Mercury Free. All right, I'm Christopher Harden, and along with me is Mike McBath, the chairman of the board. Nicholas Cicero is on the bridge. 407-774-8255 is the number. And boy, did we have a blast last night. I tell you what, that was a lot of fun, Mike. That was another big, great contest.
I'll tell you, Chris, though, we learned a lot about some of our eating representatives.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, some of our favorites really didn't pan out. I think.
Reggie shamed himself again.
Yeah, I'm concerned that Reggie's actually fading into the wasteland of pro eaters.
I don't mean to create a war of the sexes here, but he lost to another woman,
right?
And a local police officer.
Yep,
and
you know, she developed the style that we haven't seen before. Remember how she would take four pieces of pizza? Remember, 18-inch pizza. She would put them on top of each other. Every bite, she was taking out four pieces. And she started stronger than anybody because of her technique. But she did hit the wall about 10 minutes in.
She did.
And but I think I told Reggie, I'm not sure we're going to be able to issue him an invitation again because this has been quite embarrassing now. You know, Wendy of the Pretheads, Wendy, the last time, gave a pretty credible performance in the spaghetti eating contest.
She
blew by Reggie.
Yeah.
Well, this time it looked like she was really there just to have dinner. I told Wendy, I said, Wendy, you're in a contest. Do you understand this? You're in a contest. And it looks like she was waiting to pack the box and go home with the pizza.
She ended up eating about half the thing, though.
No, I know. She ate half, but I think she could have done a bit stronger effort. But the one I was, again, the lady from, was it Oviedo Police Department?
Maria.
Yeah, she was, I mean, all night she was outstanding, like we said, you know, right near the end.
Yeah.
When the final push came, she sort of cracked on the spot.
Yeah.
Now.
We had the sprinters overtook her.
Right. Then we had, which was interesting, as we chose our top three guys, there was some controversy. Remember?
It was close.
I know. There was a packed house there, a lot of pandemonium, and people had their preferences, who they wanted to win and everything. And our top three, Antonio and Mike from the Arms Room and Taylor McBath, you know, this came down to who had a different type of crust and stuff on the side, because
you're right.
You remember this? They all ate the whole piece except for one piece
and a part of a piece.
And part of a piece, and some of them, the part of the piece was crust. Well, I know Taylor, he filed a complaint. You know, he believed he wants a ruling by Pasquale, because he believed he didn't deserve third, he deserved second, because the crust, he claimed, is harder to eat, and Mike of the Arms Room took second place over him because he didn't eat the interior, you know, he left. So we're waiting for Pasquale to really define those last two spots. But
it did get a little jump. There is a bit of a controversy into the ending there, but it was a lot of fun, and Mike of the Arms Room certainly ate his share, but it was Mike, Taylor, and Antonio. They were all neck and neck.
Blew through that, and I did. I told you what I did afterwards. It made me hungry watching these people.
So you?
And I went and bought my own pizza.
Well, you guess what I ate when I sat down to eat finally?
Pizza?
Pizza.
I know.
Looking at those 10, 18-inch pies and smelling them as they were cooling off there, I was just driving me
nuts. I know.
Nuts.
I was thinking of like grabbing a slice from a guy in the contest, and he should be happy because that's one
that's
he doesn't
right.
have to eat.
There you go.
But
it was a lot of fun.
want to thank everyone who came out and made it a great celebration. And James Hall with the trumpet revelry, you know, to start the whole thing off. And it was just a big and of course, we want to thank all the folks at Cafe Positano because they had those pies ready when they said they were going to be ready. And should they have needed more, there were more to be prepared. And but as it turned out, as Mike said, no one actually got through the full 18-inch pie. Everyone, well, I mean, the winners all had one slice left,
right,
plus a partial.
Plus
and that's
partial.
Where it was, that's where it was difficult to tell.
Well,
you know?
Our judges, David, right?
He David, was, Pamela Rogan from Nabo.
Right, and David.
And myself and Pasquale.
Right, you guys were all the judges, and it really became a heated argument over, you know, whose scraps was crust and whose was interior.
Exactly, and you know, which weighed more.
And points like this are so important in life.
They are indeed. So we will work this out. It will go to the review committee.
But I am amazed.
But it was a lot of fun.
How much. So actually, the people who observed it enjoyed it because it's just funny to see the reactions, and then you know they're yelling at the eaters, "Come on, you got to do it, and let's finish it off." And you know everybody and Reggie, you know he put on a good show. He was really mouthing at the beginning, wasn't he?
He was.
Oh my God, he's firing shots across the table. You know this, that, boom, boom, boom.
Oh yeah.
And then, well, Reg, we're concerned about an invitation for you at the next one. I don't know.
He has that thing, you know, where some athletes are really good until they get to the playoffs.
Yeah, Reg, you can eat those hoagies pretty quick, but buddy, with the big pizza in the sky, you know, you're not going to see the hot dog contest, I can tell you that, buddy.
But once again, it was a lot of fun, and we're going to do it again after the first of the year, after the holidays and everything settles back down. But, hey, once again, Cafe Positano, a great place to have a party, to have a banquet, to have a meeting, to have that intimate encounter, or just to have a regular old just want to drop in for a pizza dinner. And
it was amazing, Chris, how crowded the whole restaurant was, though.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was because we were there doing the show, but, I mean, it was packed on a Monday night,
and yeah.
You know how many restaurants are packed table by table on a Monday night. Now we know the food is good, but we thought the entertainment was great.
It was indeed. One thing I missed, though, Grant Malloy wasn't able to make it with his banjo, and so they didn't really have. Maybe that's why they didn't really eat as fast or as much as they did with the spaghetti because they didn't have his music to eat by.
Yeah,
he actually though his father-in-law had been very ill and he wasn't able to make it. But we're going to get him back for the next one.
Plus, we got. And I love the next idea if we follow through with that. We won't reveal it tonight.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I thought that was pretty unique. I think I may enter on that one if we decide to go that route. But that'll be in as we head on the other side of the year.
Now, speaking of contests, we've kind of been having some fun doing these contests. We've been having a lot of fun doing these contests on Thursday night. Well, this Thursday night, we were kind of planning on doing one, but we're going to be doing another live remote. And once again, you're invited to come on out and join us. We'll be doing the Taste of a Popka and lives from 5 to 7, and it actually begins at 5. Now, the tickets are $35, but they tend to always sell out. That's why they've moved this time. They've been doing it at the Embark complex or campus or whatever they call it right over here off 436.
Right.
Now they've moved it down to the old Townsend's Mansion down there at the fork in the road, 436 and 441.
It's near Dairy Queen.
Exactly. There you go. And it is Thursday. We will be there. We will be doing it live. But we still want to do a contest. So we've come up with one that we're going to give you a week to work on. And Mike, now you are a man of culture and refined tastes.
Thank you, Chris. I appreciate that. Now this
and
is going to
you have that P.T. Barnum in you. So tell us what you've come up with.
I'm just concerned about society in general when we observe
aren't
these politicians, how low they'll go. And, you know, then you watch Hollywood. And I want to bring something back to poetry. I hope there's something I can leave behind, you know, and maybe it's the art of words.
Right.
And what I thought we would do is we'd ask our audience to create a poem. Now, doesn't that sound unique? Here it is, a radio show, and you create a poem. But I want to move this along under the cultural label. So I'm going to create the first one as an example.
Okay.
And this is just an example. And I certainly hope that our audience can do better than this, but it gives them an idea of the direction this contest is going to go.
Okay.
Now, are you ready, Chris? We got the drums.
I'm sitting down.
Okay. Now, here we go. Hillary knows how to lie as men in Benghazi die. Her foundation is a fraud, even though she looks like Maud. Pantsuits are really cool if you were a lying, stealing fool. I think this might go down in some magazine or something as one of the finest political masterpieces.
That's
right. I don't know where we're going, but I think this gives the idea out. We need creativity.
I like it. You're gonna have to read that again later on. And by the way, and Diane, hold on, we'll get right to you, but first I want Mike to reveal to the audience his softer side.
Are you talking about
my
college experience?
Please.
This is very embarrassing,
Chris.
If you
would, please. That's why I want you to say it.
This was long ago, long, long ago. When I was at Penn State, a lot of us took a course in poetry.
Uh-huh.
Because, you know, this was one of, like, the type of courses they have, even though I was an economics major, but if there was an easy A sitting out there,
sure,
and this was available to the general populace, I'd take it.
Okay.
Well, part of the course was to write, in the end, a beautiful poem. So, you know, we were assigned this. Well, my mother, who was actually a graduate of Columbia with a master's in English, I would call her up and say, hey, Mom, I need help with this. I can't write poetry. Are you kidding me? You know?
Yeah, I think we know that.
I know. Chris. Oh, what a low blow. I thought this was a masterpiece. But get it. Oh.
Actually, it is quite good.
But getting back to the story, so we're getting near the end of the term, and we had to write a poem. And remember, the class is filled with a bunch of football players and
sure,
other students.
Right.
So I get my poem in the mail the morning of when I have to read it. I've been calling my mother, where's my poem? Where's my poem?
This is long before email.
Right.
All that, right.
So I get it, and now I didn't like it because it's called The Lacy Curtain. Well, I'm going, Mother, how am I going to read that to the class? It was like, the beautiful curtain rolled in the wind as the flowers drifted by and touched your skin. You know, it was something like this. And, you know,
wow,
all the football players in the class are looking at me going,
tongue,
I know you didn't write that. You're a total jerk. You know?
I bet they said a few other things, too.
Oh, yeah. But you would like to see the hand motions, right?
I can imagine, yes.
But the worst part about it was, this is really bad, the professor, right? He evaluates you there. And
sure.
This is so funny. He goes, I'm sitting there going, oh, boy, this is really something, right? He goes, Mr. McBath, he said, I have to tell you, that was one of the most sensitive, wonderful events I've seen since I've been on campus. This was so heart-stirring. And I'm going, what? So that was my true adventure into poetry, and I just demonstrated for you, the audience, my first poem since then.
You are a refined man, aren't you? Let's go to Diane. Diane, thank you for calling, and thank you for being there last night. Appreciate you so much.
Oh, it was fun. My grandbaby ate 5 pieces, and we had to stop off an 18-inch pizza.
Are you serious? She should have been in the contest.
I know, right?
She should have just run over the table, slammed the pizza down, and joined.
I tell you what.
Wow.
Oh, that's amazing. So you went on the cruise, too. How did you like the cruise?
Oh, we had a ball. We had a wonderful time.
Oh, that's great.
Everybody was so nice. Oh, the staff, oh, my gosh, amazing. And Dr. K got us a tour of the kitchens and
of the ship itself. Uh-huh, yeah.
Yeah, because he's good friends with the chef.
Oh, wow.
Who is amazing in himself. He's
did you like the food?
Yellowstone when he's not on the cruise ship.
Did you like the food?
Who?
But did you like the food that they served?
Yeah, it was great.
Mm-hmm. Did they have lobster or anything like that? Or
they did.
Okay.
They did.
Bet they had just about anything you want.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, there was a lot of food there all the time.
All right. So your granddaughter had a big time last night. I mean, there were a lot of kids there, and they seemed to be having a blast.
Oh, she did. She had a really good time. She had a good time meeting everyone. She fell in love with Tim on the cruise.
Oh, did she? That's good. That's cute. Tim, yeah, Tim was there last
night. Right, he was there last night. Yep.
Bless his heart. Yeah.
Wonder if he was eating pizza. I didn't even notice.
Yes, he was. He always.
Oh, he was.
Yeah. Okay. Yes, sir. Yeah.
Well, they must have really sold some pizza. I told you, I ended up after the contest. It looked so good, I ordered a pizza and took it home. 18 inch.
Every time one went by, I said, maybe that's ours. No, it was going into the dining room.
Yeah, but you carried it out the door on your arm like a book, up on its end. Was it okay when you got it home? Your pizza.
You're talking about me?
Yeah.
Hey, well, you're talking about a poet guy. No, come on. Yeah, actually, it turned into a hoagie.
But you tore into it just as well.
It didn't prevent me from chopping it up. So.
All right. Hey, Diane, thanks again for being there, and thanks again for being a part of the Army and participating in our events and cruises. And, yeah, I don't know what we'd do without listeners like you.
No, we always have a really good time, and it was packed. Oh, my goodness.
Well, we got another big one coming up in the spring. You know, we got to make it through Christmas.
And then the first of the year, Positano will be real busy right now. But once again, thanks, Diane.
And start thinking of your poem, Diane.
That's right. Think of a
You're poem. A highly cultured person. You need to come up with one.
And by the way, I discovered that she and James Hall have something in common, and James Hall is our trumpeter.
Right.
I love James Hall.
That was great last night.
Tell everybody what you have in common with James, if you would, please.
Well, we were in the military at the same time.
At the same place.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
Fort Benning, Georgia.
Yeah.
Which, that's where Danny McKnight had his Ranger Battalion.
That's exactly right. That's terrific.
Yeah.
We had a great conversation. Yep.
And by the way, he'll be there once again Thursday night with that sweet jazz sound.
That's what he said.
That's right.
Great, great.
So I think I'm going to stop by there after the Taste of a Popka.
I'm not eating pizza, though, when I'm there.
Take it.
I'm going to try something else.
Well, I'm going to eat the Taste of a Popka.
Yeah.
Hey, Diane, God bless you. We'll see you real soon.
God bless you guys. Love you.
Thank you. Love you, too. All right. We'll be right back after this short break with more of the American Adversaries on FM 105.5 and AM 660 The Answer. All right, we had 10 contestants go to the mat last night. Boy, they did put away some pizza now at the end of
the day. One ball, one fall, loser leave town. In this case, Reggie, you will not be invited back. You failed miserably. You were put away by two women.
Maybe we'll have to have a preliminary contest.
I know, maybe we'll start him off with like an 8-inch pizza and everybody else with an 18.
All right, anyway, it's a lot of fun. All right, as I said, welcome back to the show. We'll go ahead and take Tim's phone call next. Tim, thank you for calling. Thanks for being there last night. And thank you for going on the cruise. How'd you like it?
Oh, it was terrific. And, really, anybody that has any idea that they might want to go on a cruise, Merrily just did a superb job.
Well, I heard her and Mike over there whispering last night something about doing something sometime.
Well, we're looking forward into spring. I think maybe I can get some of my NFL players to join us. And I'm a big fan of cruises, having been on like 14 or 15 of them. But it is a case that, what is it, like a 2.5-3 day cruise. That's just great, particularly when you get to the outer island. I know, I guess you had a little trouble with, I don't think, did you get to the outer island, Tim?
We got there, but nobody could go there.
Yeah, they couldn't land.
The waves were a little too high.
Wow.
But that does happen. But you know what? The food's good, the liquor's good, and the gambling's good, so the boat still rolls on.
What was amazing was the captain said he's going to hit the open waters and he's going to find some sunshine. And sure enough, a couple hours later, we were in some nice sun for a couple hours. And then it started to get dark again. So that worked out good. Dr. K and his contact with the chef sent a dozen chocolate dipped strawberries to every American adversary room.
How do you like
that? See
that?
You're styling and profiling,
man,
Tim.
Dog.
I mean, you are the man. You know?
And I was eating potato chips down at the rim.
Right. So you get into your room, and there's this beautiful plate of chocolate strawberries.
Oh, wow.
With his business card.
That's great. I mean, cruises are fantastic, though.
Sounds like they took special good care of the American Adversaries Army, and I'm real glad about that.
They did. And the staff, like Diane said, the staff was terrific throughout, the servers and so on and so forth. And some areas of the ship seem to have a little bit better food than others. So So it varied on where you were and
so
what time.
Sometimes they know the way they do it. So, Tim, sometimes is they charge a little extra more to be in a certain specific restaurant. You know,
right.
Not always, but I've been
but
on
we
the.
Got a, mm-hmm. We got a coupon so that we didn't have to pay that extra.
Oh, well,
so
then.
We got one night in the finest restaurant they had, which was absolutely superb.
Wow. That's fantastic. So you do it again?
Oh, yeah. I'm already bugging Mary Lee this morning on the text messaging.
All right. Well, like I said, last night she and Mike were whispering away.
Well, we'll see. You know, once this year turns over, we'll see the direction we go.
All right.
Right.
All right, Tim. Thanks a lot.
Great time last night, though, too. That's just hilarious.
It was a blast. I was amazed at how many kids were there. You know, the families that brought the kids. It was a lot of fun.
Tim, did you have a favorite pizza eater there?
Yeah, did you have a favorite?
No, me.
Oh, yeah.
I had my own.
Yeah, well, that's a clear definition. Okay.
Right. And I ordered before the contest so I wouldn't get delayed.
Oh, you're smart.
Smart guy.
Yeah. Well, put your poem together.
That's right. All right, Tim, thanks a lot. We got to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the Syrian refugees we should not be allowing in the country. The governors don't want them in. The president does. And, well, not just the president. A lot of liberals do. But maybe not Dianne Feinstein. Have we found...
I'm Mike McBath, just returning from the pizza contest last night. I just got in after eating 24 pizzas. I'm here with Chris Hart. And I hope you just enjoyed that song, because we have enjoyed it for what, Chris, the last 3, 4, 5 months when we labeled the president appropriate?
Yeah.
I mean, I could have actually seen them playing this song, The Dancing Queen, the other day when he did.
When he walked on a stage in Turkey yesterday.
And he was such a geek.
Oh,
and the way he reacted to the people of the world was so disgusting. And then when I think of the King of Jordan, the warrior king, you know, special services, you know, a tough guy, it went right after everybody. And then we got this geek that just took off. What did he go to, a convention on global warming or
oh my gosh,
how to cook pies?
Oh,
I mean, what
yeah.
a complete loser.
Indeed he is. And you're right. It, because yesterday... And a lot of people, both in the liberal media and the conservative media, noticed his petulant attitude. As a matter of fact, I think the Washington Post, in an editorial, used the word petulant. And because of the questions the reporters were asking him, he was showing impatience toward he wasn't showing impatience towards the reporters, because I must say in this particular instance, they were asking pretty decent questions. And questions that... of things that were on everyone's mind. And he wasn't answering the questions effectively enough not to have it asked again. And really, the people he was dissing wasn't anybody in the room. It was the whole world. It was, how can any of you question my motives? How can any of you question my intelligence? How can any of you question my strategies? It's the best strategy for success. I mean, he's just so full of himself and full of something else that he doesn't understand that the whole world is watching and worried. Not just Americans, not just Republicans, the whole world. But I also want to say this, because many of his policies and his positions are being echoed by Hillary Clinton and others. The problem is as much liberalism as it is Obama. And we oftentimes seem to personify the problem and place it all in his lap. He's a Muslim, or he's this, it's all his plan, it's all his doing. He's just being a really, really good liberal progressive Marxist.
Chris, you know, I wonder, too, why they didn't ask him. And have you ever seen this? Who are your advisors? You know how he always like spins it off and goes, well, this is exactly what my advisors think. Well, you know what? Name me the 5 or 6 so I know who I can mock and embarrass and do whatever we have to get these people out of here.
Yeah.
I mean, that was so embarrassing to represent the United States of America was such a, oh my God, dancing queen. Terrible.
Indeed. He just looked petulant. Not only petulant, but he looked small and weak.
Yeah.
Let's go to Dave. Dave, thank you for calling tonight.
Just a quick question. I believe it was on Glenn Beck Monday. I guess it would be yesterday. I've lost track of time.
Yeah, haven't we all?
The theft of military armaments from the Massachusetts
Reserve
Center. Any more information on that? That seemed to have just
they got some,
under the radar.
It looks like they got some handguns and they got some automatic rifles. You know, it wasn't a massive amount.
But they didn't say anything about ammunition.
No, they didn't say that, and they didn't say who got it because they don't know. And again,
well, of course, the ammunition would be the easiest thing to get because it
I'm sure they could go buy it, right?
Right.
Yeah, but it is a case that when you see things like this happen, can you imagine? We can't even put our people through an airport, and we're going to vet all these 10,000 people coming in from Syria. I mean, who are they kidding? We can't even run our airports. 95% failure rate? You know, at the airports when you go through TSA?
TSA, yeah.
I mean, I just use that as an example. I mean, there's just no way we're going to be able to properly vet these people.
And I would bet, Dave, that there are more thefts like this going on around
just don't
the country
know
that we don't hear about. And they probably, because I know every now and then around here a gun shop will get hit. And of course, the finest weapons getting taken. But it's obviously very troubling given everything else that's going on.
But it is one thing to steal from retail, but it's another when you're stealing from the armory just for the mere fact of the type of weaponry and quantity, because those are obviously in bulk. It's like stealing from Costco. It's just not one or two. It's cases.
And obviously, as you said, they're looking for weapons of superior quality, perhaps automatic weapons.
And I'm wondering, is this for resale on the black market, or is this for something down the road?
Well, we have two tracks right now that we need to be very, very concerned about in terms of domestic security. One, obviously, is domestic terrorism, ISIS, and all of that. The other is gang violence. Gang violence is rampant, and it is epidemic.
Did you read or hear what Black Lives Matter now are saying in print and in their, quote, press releases, that it's now bleep the Constitution, it's now bullets?
Right, exactly. Yeah.
So tie one and two together and you get what?
Yeah, exactly. They're demanding that we do away with this Constitution and have one that's more accommodating to their wishes and their views.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Boy, can you imagine living under that? Probably be like living under Sharia law. All right, Dave, thank you very much. And good eye out there. All right. And this is part of the problem with this president, you know. On the one hand, he wants to be tough, and that is when it comes to us, when it comes to conservatives, when it comes to American citizens, because he's going to have some Syrian refugees in here, because it's un-American for us not to take Syrian refugees. That's not us. That's not what we're all about. We're all about taking them in. That's Statue of Liberty and all that business, right? And to bring us your tired and your hungry and all that good stuff. Well, we're going to show them compassion, don't you see? We gotta show the world how this has to be done. And why Germany took in 800,000, we're only going to take in 10,000. Just 10,000 of these poor old folk just looking for a place to rest their weary heads. And it's up to us to rise to the occasion, you see. And he's tough with us, but then when it comes to the world and the terrorists,
I'm going to stay on this path. We've got them contained now. We got them on the run. They're a JV team, and they're not capable of carrying out this type of attack in the United States. And by the way, that goes on the first page of the first chapter of the book of famous last quotes.
Chris, you also wonder too, is you know why these reporters? Because I don't think they're very well trained, you know, in economics and money. Why didn't then somebody just say here, oh, sir, you want 10,000 to come in besides the emotional thing and all that? What do you think this is going to cost us? Because right now, what is it, up in Michigan, 91% of all the Muslims are on food stamps. Now, let's multiply that, the housing, everything else. Our national debt is $20 trillion, growing like it's never grown before. Mr. President, what are you doing? I mean, this is wrong in every way that you approach this. Yeah. You know? And I mean, they have to hit them from every way possible.
Indeed. And we're going to take some phone calls, but I was a little surprised.
Do we have a contest going on, Chris? I see all these calls.
We'll see here. But I was a little surprised and a bit amused today as I was listening to Michael Medved when he suggested, and I wonder if he's aware of the fact that Donald Trump has been saying this for months now, when he suggested that a solution to these Syrian refugees would be give them safe haven somewhere over there. Duh! Yep. Let's go to Keith. Keith, thank you for calling.
Keith, thank you for taking my call.
Yes, they appreciate it. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think I may have a solution. It kind of dawned on me. I was listening to a sound bite from John Kerry. I don't know if it was Reese or not, but he was talking about how ISIS's days are numbered, and that, you know, they end now.
That was probably an hour ago.
Yeah.
But I was listening to him speak, and you know, the dramatic pauses, and just,
right.
I was just wondering, and I think the solution is that they feel like this is an intellectual war. And if they can come off more intelligent sounding, more intelligent, because that's who they surround themselves with, ISIS is going to have no choice but to succumb to their intelligence. I honestly believe that's what motivates their thinking.
Because they are so full of themselves, and they're so full of that something else. And that they're just, it's just this arrogance about them. That's why the dramatic speaking and the pauses and all that you mentioned, it makes me want to vomit every time I see it. Because I know that to them, they think they're being sincere, and oh, world, what would the world do without them? And in the meantime, of course, they're screwing it up for all of us.
Yeah.
And that's why I say it isn't. We need to remember this isn't just Obama. It's Hillary. It's Kerry. It's all the rest of them. Every doggone one has bought into this nonsense. And that's why you see now Democrats in Congress saying, "Yeah, we should take some refugees in here. That's the American thing to do. We're the compassionate ones here." I want to know which one of them is going to have them in their city, on their block, in their house.
And I want to know who's going to pay for them all.
Right.
I mean, you know, the taxes are enough. The American people have had it. And I hope Hillary keeps saying, we want them, because she's going to get slaughtered in the election.
And not only that, but she'll make
sure. And so will her little Democratic friends.
She'll make sure Donald Trump gets elected.
Yeah, I know. I appreciate it. Keep talking about bringing him in. And I hope all the local Democrats do. And everybody joins them so maybe we can rid ourselves of this plague.
All right. Thank you, Keith. Appreciate you being out there. Excellent call. We'll go next to Rick. And then Kathy's up next. 407-774-8255 is the number if you'd like to join in. Rick, thank you for calling today.
Hey guys, sorry I missed last night, but
we missed
you.
Well,
we held some pizza for you, Rick. It's in the trunk.
I'm sure you held it.
Held it in our hands as we were eating it. Yes, as we were eating it. All right, go ahead. Yeah.
But as far as people wondering what the president is thinking when he's doing these things, they operate under the false assumption that he gives a flying crap about the American people.
Right.
The only thing he cares about is his agenda.
Right.
He wants to transform the country, and he doesn't care who gets hurt in the way. And that's a progressive thing.
Exactly.
Some are going to have to die to get their utopia.
Right, exactly.
And
I mean, look at what Stalin did. Look at what Mao did. And they're held up as heroes by a lot of these people. And so you're absolutely right. It's a liberal thing. It's a progressive thing. And it's a nasty thing, and we're unfortunately having to deal with it.
And they are adept at couching the most heinous things in the most innocuous terms.
You're absolutely right.
Global warming, right?
Which makes anyone who objects to it somehow becomes the villain, right? Well,
absolutely.
I got news for him. I love being the villain.
I'm getting good at it. Thanks.
All right. I hear you, man. Just keep listening. All right. We'll take Kathy on the other side of the break. We'll take this break. You are listening to the American Adversaries, and don't forget, you can be a part of the show, too. And once again, I want to thank all of our sponsors, and don't forget, if you got a Mercedes-Benz, Jerry is your best friend. Whether you know it or not, you need to get that car over to Jerry's MB Service if you haven't already. You can find him on the web at jerrysmb.com. You can call him on the phone at 407-366-6499. Jerry and Jana and the whole crew over there will give you first-class service at a first-rate price. And you can't beat it. It is the dealership alternative at Jerry's MB Service. We'll be right back.
I'm the great.
pretender, pretending that you're still around. To be what I'm not, I'm pretending a lot. Pretending that Obama's a complete idiot.
A clown, that's right.
I know.
All right, welcome back to the show, folks. You can turn your dial back up now.
Was that Frank Sinatra?
We finished singing. 407-774-8255 is the number. That's the chairman of the board. Then he was called the chairman of the board, wasn't he?
I know. We got Sinatra? Our voices in common.
Well,
hold your
maybe
day job.
Where you guys came from you have in common, but I don't know about the voices. All right. Also, we got a couple of callers on the line. Let's go to Mike first. No, wait a minute. Let's take Kathy. No, we got a grudge match to talk to Mike about business to take with up with Mike. But first, let's go to Kathy. Kathy, thank you for holding. We appreciate you.
Hi. Yes, I was just wondering, since it's an oath of the president to protect the citizens of the United States, and he is putting our lives in jeopardy, is it not too late to impeach him?
What did we just talk about, Chris?
It's never too late if you got a Congress with the backbone and spine. And, of course, that's the big question. And I don't think this Congress has the backbone and the spine, unfortunately. And especially now going into a presidential election year next year, they will be wringing their hands going, oh, if we impeach him, we're going to surely put Hillary Clinton into the White House.
Unfortunately, I don't think that's an option.
Unfortunately.
So the country is more unsafe. People will be killed.
Yep.
I mean, it's predictable.
Yep.
And so the blood will be on the hands of everyone in Washington, basically.
Yep. In essence, yes. And unfortunately, I hate to use the phrase, but elections do have consequences. And this is the part of the consequences that we're getting when we elect people that either don't know what they're doing or are up to no good or a combination of the two, which is what I think we got going on here right now. There is another option. And that other option, Kathy, you're still there? All right, she dropped off. All right, there is another option. And that other option would be to begin the process of taking the resources away from this president. In other words, be willing to shut the government down in order to cut the funding or eliminate the funding for some of these programs. For instance, with the Syrian refugees, St. Pauli girl Ryan has been called on by others in Congress to slow or stop, not allow the funding that would fund the program that would bring those Syrian refugees here. Now, first of all, Obama would just figure out a way to go around it. But nonetheless, in other words, here we are once again. Either they shut the government down in order to do that, or they have a fight and give in to him, right? Because they're not willing to shut the government down to keep 10,000 Syrian refugees out of here. When are we going to find a reason that it will be worth shutting the government down for? Of those 10,000 refugees, we know, as Kathy said, a certain percentage of them are going to be bad guys. And they're going to come here, and they're going to rape, and they're going to kill, and they're going to do whatever the bad guys do. So, you know, at what point do the scales say, okay, now we do something different?
And let me ask you, Chris, if Trump came out today and said, you know what, I think we should impeach Obama. Do you think that would hurt potential voters for Trump? I don't believe it would at all. I think it would fire up his base even further if he was very forceful and said, you know, if I win this office too, I'm going to look into the actions taken by him and see if these things are criminal, and we're going to put the guy in jail.
Yeah. Well, he might just do that, knowing that guy.
Yeah, that's why I'm voting for him.
All right. Well, let's see what Mike from the Arms Room radio show
is just
Arms
that
Room
guy
Gunshot.
Is, you know.
Hey, Mike, how you doing? Have you recovered from last night?
Gentlemen, I was recovered 5 minutes afterwards.
You looked like you were ready to go again.
When we were done with the contest, I had some more.
No, you did. I know.
Well, Mike, they filed a complaint against you.
Against him, but against
they felt that you had your crust issue. You know, we think that we might have to leave this to Pasquale. Rethink this out, because Taylor was claiming that your pile of crust was a lot thicker than what his actual pizza part was, and therefore you slid in the door there. So Pasquale's reviewing the pictures right now.
Hey,
so.
No good fight without controversy is worth it, right, Mike?
It was a good fight. And you know what? I could only see Taylor sitting next to me and Reggie. I couldn't see anybody else. And all I knew is I had to beat those two guys. I figured if I could beat those two guys, I'd be good. And that's what I did. I beat Taylor by, well, one square inch of pizza, I think.
It wasn't much. It was not much. Of course, you both beat Reggie hands down.
We told Reggie we're pulling his card. No more invitations.
Yeah, he's going to have to go back to the minor leagues for a while.
Yeah, he has to get into the sushi eating contest, you know.
But we're in.
But, Mike, once again, thanks for being there last night. It was a lot of fun. And I tell you what, it was great just sitting there watching you guys put all that pizza away. And, of course, I had to eat some later on. I mean, I was just drooling there watching you guys eat.
One quick question. Hey, Mike, has your business picked up in the last couple of days?
Absolutely. See? There's plenty of people, and I mean, I'm getting the phone calls, the texts, we're getting them in the door. The people that do not want to be caught, you know, like I always say, don't be caught dead in a gun-free zone, and they don't want to end up like the French citizens.
Yeah, it's like I was talking to my buddy the other day, and he said, you know, these people, you know, over there in France, they can't have guns. He says, right. I don't want my last thought to be, I wish I had a gun, or I wish I had my gun, right?
Right, exactly right.
So, you know, it's the old Boy Scout motto, be prepared.
This is
it's
Christmas present time, too. This could be a great
time,
because I just figure after what happened, everybody's going to be scrambling. And this is what, you know, and it's sad that our president forces people to do these actions. Just terrible.
Well, in a way, he's motivating people to do what they should already do anyway. But once again, Mike, you have the shop out there in Bithlow. You can custom make guns, plus you have a whole array of fine weaponry. And, of course, you give the classes, too.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, we do. Give them once a month out there. You can come get them there, or you can come get them at our other store, Always Armed, over off of Edgewater and Fairbanks.
Oh, that's right. And you're doing the gun shows too, right?
Yes, sir. Doing the gun shows Thanksgiving weekend, Cocoa at 520 and 995 at the Holiday Express is the next one.
All right, that's Thanksgiving weekend, so that'll be that Friday, that Saturday and Sunday, right?
Come walk off the turkey.
or pizza or whatever.
I told you, Chris, that time I went to my first gun show, I could not believe how many people attend a gun show. I thought there'd be like, you know, 80 people or something. There must have been 1,500 people. The place was packed. It was at the fairgrounds.
Yeah.
And
well, Mike, these guys, y'all are still doing them at the old High Life Fronton.
Yep, doing them at the High Life.
Orlando Live.
Orlando Live events now.
Yeah, that'd be great, too.
Yeah, yeah. So that's when they come back to town. But the one on Thanksgiving is going to be in Cocoa at 528 and 95, you said?
520 and 995.
520 and 95. And where's your shop over there on Edgewater Drive again?
It's on Edgewater Drive, just south of Fairbanks. It's the Subway Plaza there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I know where that is.
I drive by there every night on the way home.
Great location.
Yeah, sure.
A lot of traffic passed by. Great location.
Yeah, I'm going to swing in there and see you guys.
Well, Mike, why don't you open up a pizza restaurant, you know, and make sure you have extra thick crust.
No, he can't do that. He would eat all the profits.
Yeah.
Right, Mike?
I didn't want to tell you guys. I didn't want to sound like it was, you know, I was cheating. I used to run a pizza place in college. I got a little
He had all the techniques. And did you see how focused he was? Think about it. He's looking at Reggie. He's looking at Taylor. He's going for it, and he wins. I mean, that's a guy that knows how to play these type of contests. So we're going to think of something for the next time, you know, Chris. So.
All right, Mike, you'll have to come back and defend your title.
Yeah, the champ.
Thank you.
So. All right, thanks. God bless you. You do a great show, too, by the way.
Always a pleasure, guys. Always a pleasure hanging out with you. Thanks for having me on.
All right. All right. Absolutely. And don't forget, you can catch Mike and the guys, Earl and Kevin and all their guests, every Saturday live right here on FM 105.5 and AM 660.
Maybe I'll change his name to
3 o'clock.
Crusty Mike.
Nah, it doesn't fit his personality. Maybe you should be Crusty Mike.
Maybe not, Santa.
No, you're too refined for that.
Ladies and gentlemen, sit right up. Let's go see the elephant. Well, I'm a roadrunner, honey.
show, folks, or welcome to the show if you're just now able to tune in. We appreciate you so very much for being out there. That's right. You got the American Adversaries Drive Time Primetime Show back in the Mercury Free Broadcasting Studios for two nights, tonight and tomorrow night. Then we're back out running down the road because we're going to be at the Taste of Apopka. But right now you are listening to us on FM 105.5 and AM 660 The Answer from the Mercury Free Broadcasting Studios. Don't forget, for the very best in Mercury Free dental care, call my dentist, Dr. James E. Hardy, at 407-678-3399. Don't forget to ask him about his great book, Mercury Free. Nick LoCicero is on the bridge, as he always is. So we are in capable hands. 407-774-8255 is the number. The chairman of the board, Mike McBath, is in the driver's seat. I'm Christopher Hart. And thanks again, as I said, for being a part of the show. And I once again want to thank everybody who came out last night and everybody who listened to the show last night. I hope it was a lot of fun listening to it. But
Chris, I'm worried.
We're having a blast down there, I'll tell you what.
I'm worried we're going to gain weight. I mean, pizza on Monday night, the best of a Apopka on Thursday night. And we can't keep our hands off the food.
There was the winning margin.
Oh, my God. This is the proof that we've been looking.
All right, Nick's going to put this on Facebook. Nick, please tell everybody where they can see these photographs from last night's event, please.
I'm going to put up some photos on the AM660 Facebook page, so you can find it. If you search 660WORL on Facebook, you'll find it.
That's the evidence, because there's been a protest on this. You know, there's been Mike's Arms Room and Taylor McBath are battling this out, because Taylor believes he should be second place because the crust was harder to eat than the interior, and Mike tried to sell the story the crust was not, and Mike's story won. So this is going to Pasquale.
It's going to
make a determination.
It's going to the officials to re-examine. We're having an instant replay type thing, right?
One thing I think, Chris, we learned
go to 660WORL on Facebook, and there's a lot of pictures. You'll see a lot of great photographs.
Our pregame favorite, Reggie.
Oh, my.
You know, he sort of faded into the wasteland of professional eaters.
How did he ever make it into the NFL?
He was a great football player, but that doesn't translate into a great eater.
Obviously.
And he'll never see Nathan's.
He came in about fifth or sixth again.
Oh, I know. And I mean, it was so embarrassing. We had touted him like he was going to knock them all out. And
the
police
officer beat him.
Was she outstanding, Chris?
And she was not even, I bet she weighed all of about 120 pounds, maybe?
Right, but she created
her uniform.
Remember, she did a four pieces on top of each other, slice after slice
pizza
after
sandwich,
slice.
Yeah.
Every bite, she took out four pieces of pizza.
For about the first 10 minutes.
I know, but about 10 minutes in, she hit the wall.
Indeed.
And we had Big Mike from the Arms Room. He was in there eating. He said he was watching. To his right was Taylor, and to his left was Reggie. And he said, if I can beat those two, I can win. And you know what?
He was right.
Somewhat right, until Pasquale rules. And then remember little...
until we get a final ruling in this case.
And then remember little Wendy from the Pretheads?
Yeah.
I think she came there just to have a nice casual dinner. I think she ate like an eighth of a quarter. I said, Wendy, what are you doing? You're supposed to be in a contest. And she kept saying, get me a box. So, I don't know what that meant.
But Dr. K says Wendy beat Reggie.
No, don't even tell me that. Oh, my God.
Dr. K's entry, Antonio for the Shriners and the U.S. Navy. Now, he, Taylor, were neck and neck.
Right.
And Mike. And so it was tough to decide. So maybe we'll just have to schedule a shootout. We'll see.
Well, you know, we got one coming up at the beginning of the year.
Yeah,
we're
going to
get those three back,
on.
And maybe we'll tout this battle royale, just like
that's
in professional wrestling.
All right.
Right?
Okay. Like I mentioned a couple of minutes ago, Thursday we won't be in the Mercury Free Broadcasting Studios. We'll be out on the road again. We're going to be at the Taste of Apopka. This is their annual event where a lot of the restaurants in Apopka get together and have great samples and things. You pay one price to get in, and then you eat as much as you want from any one location or all of them. And it's this Thursday. The tickets are $35, and it will be starting officially at 5 o'clock when we go on the air. So we're going to be there doing a live remote broadcast. Come on out and join us for that. But because we're going to be doing a live remote broadcast, we won't be in the studio in order to do a contest. But that's okay, because this will give you a little bit extra time to work on this one. And in case you didn't hear in the last hour of the show, we have discovered something about the chairman of the board, former NFL player, Buffalo Bill, Mike McBath, All-American guy, you know, John Wayne type. Well, he is a man of great culture and refined taste.
That's right.
As it turns out,
I'm a swinging single. Actually,
now I know where you got all that smooth talk that you talked Carmen into marrying you.
I know. And we were reviewing my. I have an actual graduate degree in economics, but we were reviewing my undergraduate. And Chris noticed I took a course in poetry.
Well, now first of all, tell them about the contest, and then they'll know.
Yeah, we'll let them. They have to start really applying themselves for this. This is going to be a tough one to win. You know, as we all know, poetry is sort of the sign of a highly intelligent culture. And, you know, it's a form of verbal art that seems to be disappearing. So I believe that our show, American Adversaries, owes it to you to see if we can generate poems that will go down to the future. So what I've done is I've drawn up a little poem, you know, based upon our political involvement.
Right.
And then I'm going to ask you, our listeners who have been outstanding, to try to generate your poem for when we open up this contest, because this might be in major universities 200 years from now to be read.
We might find some special talent out there.
I'm going to start off with mine.
Okay.
Now, this is a politically oriented. It goes, Hillary knows how to lie as men in Benghazi die. Her foundation is a fraud, even though she looks like Maud. Pantsuits are really cool if you are a lying, stealing fool. Now, what type of rhyme did I have? Did you know the beat to that? So yes, these are the type of
the
things.
The cadence.
That's right. We're going to be looking for from our audience.
All right. And then the refined Mike McBath, please.
Well, this was embarrassing. When I was at Penn State, we had some courses besides your basic, you know, business and economic courses.
And of course, they were on a football scholarship.
And we looked for some, and I took a course in poetry.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of the players would take poetry because we heard that. And this was the regular students were treated the same way. It was an easy A.
Right.
But the one problem was at the very end, you had to write a poem and then do it in front of the class,
and then
the professor would judge it, and then that would dictate that you would get your grade. Well, my mother graduated from Columbia with a master's degree in English, so she was good at poetry writing. So, but back then, we didn't have Gmail and all these things, right? So I would call her up and say, get me a poem, I need a poem. Well, the poem comes in the morning of my class, and I'm panicking. I didn't know what I was going to open this up. I thought it would be like something about the defeat of Troy or something really macho, right?
Sure.
Well, I opened it up, and the title of the poem is The Lacy Curtain. Now, I got to read this to a class of football players and stuff. So I get up there, and the professor said, well, Mr. McBath, now it's your term. Let's see what you've learned from this course, and let's see the effort you'll put into it. And I go, well, the lacy curtain rolling in the wind with the flowers by the pond and the still of the night. Well, this guy, I mean, I can see the players in the background. You're a jerk. We know that you didn't write this and all this. Well, what happens is the professor was, he just loved it. I mean, you know, he's going, I can't believe that you could produce something so sensitive and with such, you know, such feeling.
Boy. I bet the other players were loving that, too, weren't they?
And that's why I still create poetry today, because I have to get back to where I left years ago.
Yes.
So we'll see how our audience does.
So we'll get your poems ready, you know, 3, 4, 5 lines, and we'll do that a week from this Thursday. So you got a little over a week to work on it. All right? All right, let's go back to the phone lines. Rick, thank you for calling. We appreciate you being out there.
Hey, guys, I thought I'd throw in a little hope for the future.
Okay. We need it.
Yeah.
Yeah. We really don't have to worry about ISIS.
Uh-huh.
Because according to Obama and Bernie, once ISIS and radical Islam takes over the world, climate change is going to take them out.
I know. They don't have much time. I wonder if they know how little time they have, according to Bernie, you know?
Right, exactly.
Yeah, no kidding. And it's pretty bad when you have to go to a booth review to judge a contest. You know, I'm sorry to hear about that.
Yeah, that's exactly.
See, you should have been there, Rick. We could have used your opinion.
I had planned on being there, but I flashed it.
Yeah.
I get home and I turn you guys on and went, oh crap! When I'm on the other side of town,
that's okay. You got a week. You can do better than that,
Rick. Come on, give it an effort. We want at least six lines.
Just the taste.
I know. Okay. All right. And by the way, I got this from Aubrey, and we're looking for something a little more political than this, but I thought it was cute. Mary had a little sheep, and with the sheep she went to sleep. The sheep turned out to be a ram, so Mary had a little lamb.
That is Aubrey. That's another sensitive, animalistic type poem.
You get an A+ too, Aubrey.
Yeah, except you're too early, buddy. We haven't started the contest. You're out.
All right. Well, I tell you what, let's take the contest question, and then we'll take Craig's call. Danny, you're up next. Thank you for calling.
Hey, guys. I'm sitting here drinking a beer.
Oh, here we go.
And it came up to my mind, are you guys going to accept haikus as a poem as well?
Sure we will. Absolutely. Okay. Yeah, if you can write one, that'll be great.
That shall be calling on Thursday.
All right. Now, it's a week from Thursday, a week from this Thursday, because this Thursday we're going to be at the Taste of
a
Popka.
Is a week from this Thursday Thanksgiving?
Oh, wait a minute. It is. Then we'll
Maybe Wednesday.
We'll do it the Wednesday prior to Thanksgiving.
That's right,
that'll be our Thanksgiving.
And they have plenty of time to prepare themselves, because I know Danny's fired up, buddy.
All right, Danny. I'm looking forward to that haiku, man. Thank you. Appreciate you calling. By the way, just a real quick program note, too. Of course, obviously, we're going to be off Thanksgiving Day. We're also going to take Friday Thanksgiving weekend off and Sunday Thanksgiving weekend off, so we can have a little 4-day weekend to ourselves before we go into the holidays and the new year. In the meantime, let's go to Craig. Craig, thank you for calling. We appreciate it.
I forgot to tell you, Friday is a very special day for the Muslim religion. It's when all kinds of things happen, and I kind of think that they chose Friday because of that. Now, hopefully this Friday nothing happens. If something does happen, then it may be the new norm. But the stock market went down 4 days in a row, even on Friday. And then it went up on Monday. So would you call that a chopped head bounce?
Craig, you could revamp Wall Street with some of these definitions.
I tell you what Craig is referring to is oftentimes when the market drops and then it rises a little bit, they call that a dead cat bounce. But
I could see you on Squawk Box.
Absolutely.
You know, definitely.
He'd be a lot better than half of the guys they have on there.
He'd have a politically correct problem, though.
Yeah, and what he's talking about is that Friday is it's prayer day, and he's right. That's a special day. That's when they like to celebrate. And do terrorist acts and things like that.
He
right?
could replace Becky less than quick. You know?
Hey, Craig, thank you so much for calling. Appreciate you being out there. All right. Okay, so, oh my goodness, just got this from our Kathy Santomassino. As I said, we always got eyes and ears on the ground. Bobby Jindal has just dropped out of the presidential race.
Another 4 years in all seriousness. He just needs some seasoning. I think I thought he was pretty darn good in that last debate.
Well, you know,
not
I got,
that he's ready now, but.
You know. Got to see him at the summit, got to ask him a question in the press conference at the summit, and he is obviously a very smart man, very dedicated man. He wears blue jeans and cowboy boots, and there can't be anything wrong with somebody that does that to a summit, and looks good in them, too, by the way. And he's got that sort of Elvis flash to his hair there, but he just wasn't getting any traction. He wasn't getting any money. I was impressed with his speech. He did, I thought, pretty well in that last debate. He echoes a lot of what we've been saying around here for a long time. And
certainly a very effective governor.
Yeah.
Very effective.
And when I asked him the question about would he send the refugees back that this administration is going to let in, once again, he said he wouldn't let them in to begin with. And that's a big positive right there. But he never really did get around, like none of them really got around to saying that they would send them back out. And I think that once again, the more this becomes an issue in this campaign, the more it's going to benefit Donald Trump,
right?
Because he's the anti-illegal immigration guy. And when you think about it, this, in my opinion, is a form of illegal immigration being masterminded by our own president.
Oh,
so but,
I think
what,
Trump...
but then again, what else is new?
Oh, I know. I mean,
but
that's
then
why
again, what else is new about that, right?
We can take this out in our poetry form, Chris.
Oh, indeed we can. All right. In the meantime, we're going to have to take this break out of this segment of the show, and we'll be right back. So please don't go away.
A loser. I'm a loser. And I'm not what I appear to be.
All right, welcome back to the show, folks. That's right, you got the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show. That's our little ode to Hillary Clinton.
But yeah. You know what? Just think how many people that are associated with Obama we could apply this song to.
You know, all of them.
I mean, I think every time I hear John Kerry, it just turns my stomach with his bouffant hair, you know, and his bicycle for built for two.
Bouffant.
In his case, it wasn't built for anybody. You know,
he needs to be on a
and
tricycle.
He's always going
or something with training wheels.
To save us, right? He's always, oh, John Kerry's here. John's Kerry. John hasn't done anything more than Hillary. They all do nothing. Colonel Klink, right? They do nothing.
Yeah, that's about the then, and they know nothing, like Sergeant
Schultz.
Yeah,
I know nothing. I know no one.
I know nothing.
Ugh.
Well, Di-Fi knows something, Dianne Feinstein, and she let loose today pretty much on the all over the administration. Certainly the president said that, you know, this business about ICE, the Islamic State, ISIS being contained is a bunch of nonsense. That's my word, not hers, but that's what she was saying. They have not been contained. As a matter of fact, she then went on to recite a bunch of places where they've expanded to. They, you know, they franchised out Boko Haram in Nigeria, Libya, Sinai Desert, Egypt, Lebanon, and other places as well. These guys, they're taking the show on the road. And, of course, they're recruiting people in countries around the world. So this is in no way this problem is being contained. And that's why, you know, everybody saw yesterday truly was the emperor with no clothes on. And the whole world saw it. And it, believe me, the Islamic State, ISIS, saw it too. And what you want to bet, they were sitting there laughing and joking and having a gay old time watching and listening to Hussein, the dancing queen Obama.
The other thing with Dianne, and I think that you're going to see more of them come out and speak out against this because, you know, if something happens here, it's just going to finish these Democrats off because they never stepped in and did what was the hard thing, right, Chris?
The hard right
What's
choice.
Right.
As Donald
and
has,
none of them did. And now you're going to be able to pinpoint them and say, you know, we had Paris, and you sat there and you supported the president like you did for the last 6.5 miserable years.
Right.
You got to go. And I think this is a protective thing, too. Like, does she really care about us? I'm not sure by the way she's voted for the last, 7 years.
Right.
But this issue will knock her out of office.
Every now and then, she comes up. It's like a blind squirrel finding a nut.
Yeah, I know,
right?
I know.
But every now and then, like with the gun issue, every now and then, she'll come out, you know, and say something that makes a lot of sense and expose the administration for the farce that it is. And in this case, she says the intelligence reports she's seen, and you don't have to look at any intelligence reports, just watch the doggone news. You can see that this problem is not being contained, that his quote-unquote strategy is not succeeding.
Now, Chris, do you think she wears pantsuits? I mean, maybe she's getting the same intelligence. Well, she is. She's getting the same reports Hillary's gotten for all this period, right?
Well, indeed. But
then how can she and Hillary have to differentiate tremendously on this issue, too?
Well, they do.
Right.
And,
which is good. I love to see this.
But this woman is obviously more concerned with her responsibilities as a United States senator than, at least in this instance, than she is as a liberal. Because she's going against the grain here. But nonetheless, she did. And then there was another, let's see, Loretta Lynch testified in front of Congress today about Gitmo, trying to reassure them that that even though the administration is developing an executive action on Guantanamo Bay with, of course, the objective of closing it down, and I believe also to give it back to the Cubans, which, by the way, one of my friends, Vinny and Rosalie, they're great listeners to the show, texted me. Vinny's absolutely right. They're going to close Gitmo down and give it back to the Cubans. And what are they going to give to the Cubans? Not just a bunch of prime real estate.
Oh, this is it's a great piece of property.
Well, not only that, but a highly advanced military base.
I wonder if you could sell it back to Trump and let him convert it into a hotel.
Don't be surprised.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Don't be surprised if
like
the Russians show up on the shore of Guantanamo Bay.
Yeah.
All right, with a bunch of military equipment, going to turn that base into a Russian base. All right, well, Loretta Lynch tried to calm the fears, but if you listen closely, you saw through it. And I don't think the I bet he'd take on the Islamic State with that 2x4 of his.
You know, Chris, he actually went and visited all the different bases and everything in Afghanistan and everywhere.
Right.
And as we've always mentioned before, the guy, he's a hilarious showman. But, you know, he was a graduate of SMU. His kids were outstanding students, and he's a true credit, actually, to America. I mean, this guy is military, and his father was a policeman all his life. And
USA.
You know, yeah, we've had him on a number of times. And
I can't wait.
I play golf with him. He's like most of my golf partners. He stinks. Just like I do.
I was going to say, that's why you play with him. It makes you look better, right?
Birds of a feather? You've heard that one, right?
All right. Before we went to the break... And by the way, if you'd like to be a part of the show, 407-774-8255 is the number. Christopher Hart and Mike McBath here. Before we went to the break, I talked about how Loretta Lynch, of course, the president attorney general, was on Capitol Hill today trying to reassure the Republicans and the nation that Guantanamo Bay, no, it appears to her that it is not in the law, it is not legal for the prisoners from Guantanamo Bay, the detainees, as they call them, to be transferred to prisons in the United States of America, which is what the president has been trying to do. She evidently today said that that is not possible to do. But what she did not say was that this president can transfer those detainees elsewhere. And once he gets them all out of there, then he can, by executive action, close Guantanamo Bay and give it over to the Cubans. That is what she did not say on Capitol Hill today. And to my knowledge, and I didn't see the full hearing, but to my knowledge, no one was astute enough to ask her that particular question.
You know, Chris, I look at that after what happened in Paris. Can you see how happy these different states are going to be to embrace having these wonderful men come to their community?
Well,
this guy, if he tries to move, which, you know, I think he's going to move him into the states, too. But I mean, this is the ultimate insult to America if he moves these people into the United States after what happened in Paris.
As I said, the attorney general today indicated that he can't do that. But what she did not indicate was that he could transfer them elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And over this past weekend or this past week, he has transferred five of the worst to Saudi Arabia.
Mm-hmm.
So if he can transfer the worst of them out of there, you would think he could transfer all of them out of there and be rid of them and be able to do what he wanted to do all along. And here's the worst part of all. Because they will be out of Guantanamo Bay and they will be out of our hands, they will be, therefore, probably back in the theater of action.
Back in action. Back into USSR.
Amen. All right, let's go to Aubrey Kahn. Aubrey!
Well, good evening.
I didn't know that you were such a refined gentleman like Mike McBath as well.
He's a poetry type guy. I can see that.
I tell you what, anyway, never mind. Go ahead.
Expect big things out of him in this contest. I expect huge.
All right, go ahead, Aubrey.
Well, you know, you were talking about your previous girlfriend, Dianne Feinstein.
Yeah.
You know,
thank you very much.
It's a pleasure, anytime.
But my previous girlfriend is going to beat the snot out of you for saying that. Go ahead.
But, you know, you're going to see a lot of the Democrats doing that. They're backing away and trying to insulate themselves from Barack Obama because we're entering an election season.
And
they're looking to be reelected, and they don't want to be associated with this failure.
Well, you're right, except when it comes to these refugees from Syria, it doesn't appear as though that's beginning to happen yet. There are some signs of that.
But you know, they want to appear to be humanitarian.
Yeah, well...
Yeah, just the standard pitch, right? I could have told you that 20 years ago. They'll use the same thing.
Emotions.
Right, yeah, humanitarian, like...
Meanwhile, if you start reading the numbers, you know, Obama said that we don't discriminate against religion. But of all the Syrians that they've brought in, only 52 are Christians.
Right. I was going to say, they don't discriminate against religion unless it's, of course, Christianity.
Christians and Jews.
Judaism.
That's
exactly.
To say, yeah, it was 2% are Christian and 96% are Muslims.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Right.
Yeah, right.
No,
and,
this...
And, you know, I have yet to meet an ISIS terrorist that professes to be a Christian.
Well, here's the problem. You're going to be meeting them. Because that'll be one way to get in here, you see, and this is why we got to keep them all out. There can't be a, well, we'll let the Christian ones in and we'll keep the Muslim ones out. No, because guess what? The ISIS ones will suddenly find Jesus. And, oh, yes, brother, I believe, yeah, I've been born again. They'll give you the whole rhetoric, and then they'll get in the country, and then they'll shoot you in the
head. I already got another contest for us. Let's think of vetting questions.
Know, when I'm finished with them, they will be meeting Jesus.
You mean they'll be meeting Allah down in hell, right?
Well.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Did you know, actually, this is true, that the vetting initially starts with the U.N.? And you can imagine how much those people are America-oriented, right?
Yeah.
And, I mean, imagine if – I would wonder what the questions are. Like, Mr. Abi Bagabi, let me ask you a question now. How many people have you blown up? 1 to 5, 5 to 10? Would you circle –
Multiple choice.
I mean, what
all,
in the
or
world
all of the
are
above.
You going to let the U.N. vet these people?
Well, they begin
you know
the process. What's that?
You know what?
What?
Don't ask Monica Lewinsky that question.
Oh. You dirty dog, you. All right, thank you, Aubrey Khan. We appreciate you being with
us. Have a
good
night, folks.
All right, start writing your poem.
Yeah, that's right. But, yeah, see, the problem is there is – and I saw an interesting little debate on MSNBC this morning, and this is being carried out between liberals and conservatives right. All over the country, and that is how can you vet these people? Oh, the State Department and the Justice Department, they're vetting them now. Oh, yeah, they're vetting them. Well, here's the problem. How do you vet someone where you have no
information?
Exactly.
There's nothing.
Nothing.
Right.
So the vetting process becomes an interview, like you said. And they sit there and they ask them a bunch of questions. And it was interesting to see old Mika Bolshinsky this morning. That's my nickname for Mika Brzezinski. That she this morning was saying, oh, but this is an effective vetting process. Sometimes these question and answer sessions go on for weeks or even months, and you don't call that vetting. She was talking with Peter King, a congressman from New York, who's oftentimes not on the right side of the issue, but he is on this one. No refugees in the country because there's no way of telling the good ones from the bad ones, and the bad ones will be coming here. It's like when I asked Dr. Carson the other day, would he send them back out and he hemmed and hauled around, but he did say this, it would be malpractice on the Islam on ISIS's part not to have some of their fighters in these people coming here. I mean, it's obviously a grand opportunity to sneak them in.
And do you think they'll be well schooled how to get through the vetting? You know, I mean,
of
come
course.
On. How stupid can we be to allow this to go on?
And we'll be getting him back in the future, but Robert Shepard wrote the book, The Infidel's Guide to ISIS. In there, he describes these aren't just hayseed terrorists. These are sophisticated, many of them very well-educated terrorists. And yes, they have written handbooks on how to get into this country and how you act in this country so as not to be detected until you get the call. And then when you get the call, of course, then you become what you have been trained up to be.
Chris,
in the meantime, you're a spy laying low.
Right. Plus, the other thing which they fail to address is with the new Prime Minister of Canada. Now, you saw that. I think he's talking about 65,000 refugees into Canada, right?
Yeah.
And then you cross the border at night. You cross the frozen lakes. I even saw a video the other day where they showed a mosque in Canada, and then they showed the Muslims who were in the mosque crossing over the ice lakes at night into the United States. Can you imagine if they were to bring in this guy's an absolute liberal under the liberal ether, you know, meaning he's a fool.
Right.
And, this could be as more devastating than what could happen to us with 10,000.
The election of this liberal up there in mm-hmm. Canada is going to be a huge problem for us and the rest of the world, just like Barack Obama has been. Once again, Barack Obama's, he's a symptom. He's not the disease. He's a symptom of the disease, a bad one,
yeah,
a really bad,
good.
Nasty symptom. It's like, you know, you diarrhea that comes with the flu. He's the diarrhea.
Yeah.
Right, but the flu includes all the other symptoms, and this Trudeau kid is one himself. And by the way, he is now banning shipping oil via oil tankers out of the northern areas of Canada up there, which is going to cut off a big source of energy for the free world because he's a liberal and he's worried.
And imagine the jobs that he's going to lose for the Canadians.
Right.
Right. Yeah, now, typical liberal in this, but I don't like all those people coming across into Canada.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And, of course, we have our own problems here, and the mosques in this country being places where hatred is being incited. There was a representative, a former, or let's just say a person who was associated with the Muslim Brotherhood who just spoke recently, just this last weekend, as we were having the summit here, he was speaking in a mosque in Tampa. Okay, that's just down the road, folks. Tampa. Okay. Now, having said that, yesterday morning, as I was in my car, I was listening to Mike Gallagher, and I heard one of our listeners who had called Mike Gallagher's show, a fellow by the name of Mike. As a matter of fact, he went on our cruise, and Mike was talking to him about this situation, and Gallagher was you know, sort of challenging Mike what he was saying, because Mike was talking about how Islam itself is a threat. It is a problem because of the teachings in the Quran. I read out of the Quran Sunday night, where in the chapter entitled Muhammad, chapter 47, the first chapter of that book, it tells you how to kill the enemy, how to smite their necks, how to take them prisoner, hold them for ransom and favors. It is not a religion. And Mike yesterday said we need to get rid of all the mosques in the country. And Mike Gallagher then cut him off
and
said,
you're not.
Yeah, we can't do that. You know, people worship in those mosques. Well, they worship in the mosques a little bit. They plan, they plot, they plan. They do a lot of things in the mosques. But here's the thing, though. What we have to understand and realize, and this is something that I've brought up with Robert Shepard, and by the way, tomorrow we're going to have Usama Dakdak. He has been on our show before. It's been much too long. He's an Egyptian Christian born and raised in Egypt and knows all about the Muslim Brotherhood and all that stuff, right? Matter of fact, the people who had their heads cut off lived not too far from him. If you remember the Egyptians that were marched on the beach there.
Right, and they dropped their heads off.
It was 3 or 4 or 6 months ago. I mean, all these events, they just keep running one into another. But what we need to do is what Italy did, because what the Muslims are doing is they're using our First Amendment rights against us. They're saying, well, we're just a religion, right? We have a right to have a mosque. We have a right to pray. We have a right to wear the hijab. We have a right to do these things that otherwise you wouldn't allow us to do. We need to do what Italy did. Italy declared that Islam is not a religion. I don't know if they went as far as to say that it is an ideology, but they declared it not a religion and therefore not due the same protections as an official religion would be due.
Well, would our president do an executive order?
Not him.
You can be assured you're going to have to wait to do that one.
Well, perhaps a President Carson might.
Well, that's what I'm saying. But we still got, like, what, 14 months with this
and
Joker?
By the way, Bobby Jindal, by the way, folks, if you didn't catch this, Bobby Jindal has dropped out of the presidential race. And in my opinion, as much as I like Chris Christie, I believe today he also disqualified himself because he has no problem with appointing Muslims to his administration, which he has already done in New Jersey, and stated today he would have no problem doing as president of the United States. He would not be like Ben Carson and be concerned and want to think twice about appointing someone who belongs to a faith that has raised up so many terrorists worldwide, which teaches as part of its primary tenets to kill infidels, that meaning the disbelievers, as they are called in the book, that being anyone who is not a Muslim, and it doesn't matter if you're Christian, Buddhist, Jewish, Hindu, or Rastafarian, or Native American. They're coming after us all because that is the goal of the religion. Believe it or not, every religion seeks to bring everyone to its message. Do they not?
Yeah.
I mean, they all do. There's no mystery to this. The only difference is there's but one religion in the world which uses violence as its primary tactic to achieve that goal. And that so-called religion is Islam, and it is therefore not a religion. We should declare it as such, and therefore it would not be due the same First Amendment protections, and we could close down mosques, which are, maybe not all of them, but a great many of them are simply places where hatred is incited.
Do you think Neil Diamond could rewrite that song, "We're Coming to America"? We have to play that when we discuss this situation.
I'll tell you what. Well,
just
anyway,
alter the song a little bit. You know?
I've talked over the break again. We got to take a break. When we come back, we got some Clinton Foundation news, and we got some Glamour Magazine Woman of the Year news. Please don't go away. And poetic.
Did she say only when they're brainy? Does she really know us?
She doesn't know that you're a man of culture and refined
taste. That's exactly right. A poet.
All right. Welcome back to the show, folks. Real quick, of course, you know the holiday season is coming up. That means it's the gift-giving season for just about all of us. And there's no better gift to give than relief from someone's pain or aggravation. And you can do that by giving them a bottle of Roxy Pacifics. You've heard me talk about this stuff. It is great stuff. It's for whatever ails your skin. And it's very safe to use. You can use it anywhere you can spray it, literally. Anywhere on your or in your body, you can spray this stuff. It is safe to use. You can also use it on pets and children and old folks too. Roxy Pacifics is all natural kelp based solution. It's I call it fertilizer or miracle grow for your skin. For those nicks, cuts, burns, or chronic conditions, put this stuff on it. My dear friend Rita had a tough fall the other day, and she cut her head and bruised her face, and I've been saying just put that Roxy, spray the Roxy on it 3 or 4 times a day, and it really, really does help out. To fix your skin, go to skinfix.us. They're always running specials. So get that gift for that person in your life who has that aggravating skin problem at skinfix.us. All right, you want to talk about aggravating problems. Hillary Clinton.
Chris, I mean, that little note today, it said the Clinton Foundation amends 4 years of tax returns due to errors. Oh, wow.
Whoops.
Errors? In reporting donations from guess where? Foreign governments.
Ooh.
The 2014, the foundation raised, this is how hard she was working for the American people, okay? The foundation, oh, wait a second, that's hers, raised $177 million, okay? With her, I'll add this, with her fronting for Bill Clinton, this is probably, which I have to believe, you talk about conflict of interest.
Oh, scam.
And I call it scam. This is in the emails that are hidden, gone. She was fronting for him with these foreign governments. And the way they do it is they take a charity in Canada, money comes across to that charity. That charity then sends money across to their foundation in the United States. They don't have to attach where, who, what, you know, is giving it. And then what have they spent? 10% of it? The rest of their money.
Yeah, well, see, here's what they have to fear. something happening like what happened with Uma Abedin and her emails that just came out. About 35 pages of emails. Not many emails, you wouldn't think, not a big deal, right? Except for what those emails said. And these were not emails to and from Hillary Clinton. These were emails to and from other people about Hillary Clinton. And what she was saying in those emails was, make sure you follow up with the secretary. Make sure she knows what you're talking about, because she oftentimes gets confused.
Yeah.
And in one of the emails, they talked about, you know, after she woke up from her nap.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I understand, you know, you do a lot of traveling and stuff, you know, and we all would like to take a nap in the afternoon. If I get a chance to take a couple of Z's, I'd do it, you know. But what I'm trying to point out here is it may not be in the end her emails that are her undoing, but other emails surrounding her and the business dealings and the things like that, like the Blumenthal emails and things like that.
How about this, Chris? Wouldn't you like to see the emails from the foreign government when they send the money across? Like, thank you, Mrs. Clinton. It was enjoyable meeting your husband the other night. I thought we were supposed to discuss our regular business, but it was nice of you going into the foundation. They're all over.
Yeah.
They just have to do the work.
Yep, you're absolutely right. But once again, the email story is a long way from being over. Not just her server, which once again the FBI has stepped up their investigation into, not just her emails, but emails from people around her, like Uma Abedin. And once again, you know, this can be very powerful stuff, because if she gets confused easily, is that the kind of person you want to be president of the United States? Mm-hmm. Someone who her girl Friday, her most trusted assistant.
Imagine she writes that in there. She gets confused easy. That's comforting too, isn't it?
Oh boy, isn't that something? All right. Before we go out of here tonight, we reported a few weeks ago, that Glamour magazine jumped on the bandwagon with ESPN, the Caitlyn, you know, fad, and declared Caitlyn, that'd be of course Caitlyn from the waist up, Bruce from the waist down, Jenner, got named the Woman of the Year, that award given every year by Glamour magazine. Well, a fellow by the name of James Smith did not like that. Why should that matter? Because James Smith's wife, Moira, received the honor posthumously in 2001, because Moira Smith was killed. New York City Police Department is where she worked. Killed the morning of 9/11 as she was going in and out of the buildings helping people out. She was named by Glamour magazine in 2001 Woman of the Year. James Smith did not want her name associated with the present so-called Woman of the Year.
Well, there's such comparable bravery there, isn't there?
His point was there are many women out there who are far more deserving of this. We talked about it with the ESPY thing.
Yep.
There are far more women deserving than this fraud, this scam of a man.
Yep.
Receiving that award from Glamour magazine. So he has returned the award, Woman of the Year 2001 for his dear wife to Glamour magazine, and I hope he told them where they can stuff it.
I think ultimately, Bruce, once the show's over, which will be soon because it stinks, I think he's going to switch back, go north.
You want to hear a prediction?
What?
There will be no season two. Unless it's already in the can, there will be no season two.
I mean, it's pathetic. The show's pathetic.
Pathetic. Yeah. It's a pathetic story to begin with. Pathetic the way they tried to capitalize on it and make money off of it. And pathetic the people that are going through this and are now more confused than ever.
The Kardashians have been such a wonderful inspiration for all Americans. Can you imagine what they've done if you actually watched and believed the show?
Well, hats off.
And I did, and you'll agree with me. I expect Obama to join the Kardashians once he's out of office.
You know, so. Maybe he's going to hook up with Caitlyn.
I know, two sweethearts.
Oh, boy, they got legs that'll match one another anyway.
Well, anyway, he's the dancing queen, right?
You got it, baby. All right, hats off, though, to James Smith. And, you know, it's such a special award for his wife and for him to be so revulsed.
That's a, well, he's
Hats
a great
off.
American.
Hats off.
You know, he
to
stood
James
up
Smith.
For what's right.
Please keep him in your prayers tonight. We'll be back tomorrow night. Usama Dak Doc. Don't forget it. And please be with us and tell your friends and family. Once again, we'll give you the inside scoop that you'll get nowhere else. And by the way, Abe Katzman is traveling this week. He will be back with us next Monday as usual. Night, everybody.